The first lesson on this, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, is found in Jeremiah 11, verses 18 through 20. Because the Lord revealed their plot to me, I knew it, for at that time he showed me what they were doing. I had been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they had plotted against me, saying, "Let us destroy the tree and its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." But you, Almighty Lord, who judge righteously and test the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in James 3:13 through James 4, verse 10. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires at battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motive, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in Mark 9, verses 30 through 37. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
It's something that everyone needs. It's something that everyone hopes they'll have when they need it. It's also something that often seems to be in short supply. And I'm also quite sure that most all of you have figured out what this thing is that I'm referring to. After all, there is just a little bit of a hint on the wall behind me. Yes, the graphic of the day makes it clear that I'm talking about wisdom. Wisdom. Isn't it true that everyone needs it, especially at moments of criticality in life? And isn't it also true that it often seems to be in short supply? But you know what? It's not in short supply. Not at all. Now, the other night, Stephanie and I watched the Republican presidential debate. One would think that among people who are being seriously considered for the office of President of the United States, that you would hear a great deal of wisdom. Now, I will say I heard some, but I didn't hear a lot. What I did hear was this statement. It went something like this. Look, we're up here trying to outshine each other, and let's be honest, we're all up here because we've all done great things. I don't remember who said it, but that was pretty close to what he said. We're all up here because we've done great things. And you know what? In the gospel lesson, Jesus asked them what they were talking about along the road, and they were quiet because along the road they were arguing about which of them was the greatest. Okay. So, compare that with what we heard in today's lesson from James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Okay, so James says, if you have selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it. And one of the candidates says, look, we're all up here because we've all done great things. You know, there's just a little bit of friction between those two things, don't you think? Now, we're not here to talk about politics. I just thought that the contrast between the two statements was striking. I do want my president to be wise, don't you? And by the way, though this particular debate was between Republicans, I'm pretty sure that the same kind of chest pumping or thumping would be an evident display when the Democrats have their debates. By the way, do you know what Luther said about wisdom and civic leadership? He said, I'd rather have a wise Turk or pagan as king than a foolish Christian. Why? Because the king is called upon by God to keep and safeguard the citizens. And to do that well requires wisdom. But enough of that. Do you agree with me that to have wisdom is so very important? It is, isn't it? But before I delve into that, I'd like you to take a look at this. I believe that what you see there is generally accurate with respect to the ascertaining of wisdom. Everywhere you look, there is data to be found. Our eyes and our ears take in thousands upon thousands bits of data every single day. When data gets organized, it becomes information. Information that is actually useful crosses over into the realm of knowledge. But it's one thing to have knowledge, and it's another thing to have wisdom. Wisdom is the correct or best usage of knowledge. In that sense, wisdom is knowing what to do with what you know. And if you fail to know what to best do with what you know, you haven't arrived at the point of wisdom. We have a dog at home. His name is Maverick. There's a picture of Maverick. At the top there he is as a puppy, and then he has his regal pose sitting on his chair, and then he has his goofy self. He's a smart dog. He's a border collie. They say border collies are the smartest breed. He really is smart. but he doesn't have wisdom. He, like you and me, takes in data every day. And at this point in his life, some of that data has been refined into information. And some of that information has become knowledge. But wisdom? I don't think he crossed the border into wisdom as of yet. For instance, Maverick likes to bark, especially in the evening. And he'll bark, and he'll bark, and when we've had enough of it, we put our finger to our lips and we say, "Quiet! No bark!" And as he continues to bark, and as the adults become more annoyed, we point to the next room and we say, "Time out! Do you want to go to time out?" Sometimes we even say, "Choufla doble," which everyone knows is border collie for, "You want to go to the dark side." And here's where it has become obvious that information to him, he has now some knowledge. For at this point, if I get up out of my chair, he does one of two things. He either runs to the other side of the coffee table, because if I go this way, he'll go that way. And when I go that way, he'll go this way. And even if I try to look nonchalant like I'm heading for the other room, he knows. He knows. Or, if he doesn't run behind the table, he will immediately flop to the ground as if in an effort to make it seem like he's going to be good. Ha! I know better than that. You see, if he was wise, he would take the data that has gone to information and then into knowledge about the repercussions for his barking, and he would stop. But he doesn't have that wisdom. And no doubt all of you would come up with your own examples of data turned into information and to knowledge that does not guarantee the ascertainment of wisdom. But did you know that the Scripture can be approached in the same fashion, moving from data to information to knowledge and then to wisdom? It's true. Think about it. When many people pick up the Bible, they are overwhelmed. It's so big and thick. And where are the pictures? No, it's not National Geographic or People magazine. Clearly, there's a lot of data in here. And as you read it, that data can become information. Then, if you are one who wants to learn what God values, what He promotes, what He expects, what He promises, and what He commits Himself to, yes, if you are curious to learn those things, you will definitely move from information to knowledge. Now then, what about wisdom? Is there wisdom to be found in these pages? Oh, is there ever? Please consider this short sampling of what Scripture says about wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Not only is there wisdom to be found in Scripture, we are told that God even wants to give it to us. We are also told in Scripture of the value of wisdom. Proverbs 16 says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver." Does it not seem to you that the world would push us in the opposite direction, in the direction of attaining wealth at all costs? And Scripture warns us about being satisfied with the world's wisdom. It says in 1 Corinthians, "Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age or the standards of the world, you should become fools so that you may become wise. Now here we are told that the key to gaining wisdom is to consider ourselves completely lacking in a personal ability to simply come up with wisdom on our own. And to get to the place of understanding that we don't have that ability on our own to come up with great wisdom, we are told that something is required. And that we find in Proverbs 11. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Yes, humility. Humility takes us to the place of dependence upon God and His truths. And Jesus brings us one of the truths that brings us wisdom. He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice," not just hearing them, but putting them into practice, "is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Yes, the words of Jesus. The key needed to take the Bible's data and to turn it into information and then turn it into knowledge and finally into wisdom is to put it into practice. And that's what we heard from the letter of James this morning. It's the verse we started with. Do you remember? "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." You see? Wisdom is demonstrated when we learn what the Bible teaches and then put it into practice with the aid of the Holy Spirit. When you see someone living their life consistent with the truths and the teachings of the Bible, doing so with humility, you are observing someone with wisdom, God's wisdom. Now, earlier I said that there is no shortage of wisdom to be found and that it can be found in many places. But really, all wisdom, all that is called wisdom, comes from one of two places. There is wisdom from above, God's wisdom, and there's earthly wisdom. God's wisdom will never fail you. Earthly wisdom will not only fail you, it actually seeks your demise. You see, the world's wisdom has its origins in a very dark place. Take a look. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. You see that? The wisdom of the world has its origins in the pit of hell. Remember, the devil and his workers still strive to lie and deceive in every way they can so as to keep people away from God or to convince those who do know Jesus that they are better served by leaving Jesus behind and taking to themselves the wisdom of the world, which James tells us is unspiritual and ultimately demonic. Therefore, it is important to conclude that having the wisdom from above is not only better than using the wisdom of the world, it's critical. Critical to the health of our spiritual well-being and even our eternity. So let's say you have to make a decision about something. Let's further say that you remember that it is so much better to have and to use God's wisdom rather than the wisdom that the world offers. How can you determine which is which? Good question. An important question. And it's a question that can be answered by taking some data turned into information, turned into knowledge, and then applied. We find that in something else we found or heard in this letter from James this morning. These words, James 3:17. Memorize this verse. Memorize where it's found. James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. God's wisdom, we are told here, has certain qualities to it. And you see them in the verse. Purity, peace, considerate, submissive, merciful, yielding good fruit, impartial, sincere. So, here's what you do. 6 steps. 1. You prayerfully consider the decision you need to make before God, asking His guidance and His wisdom on the matter. Because remember, 2 chapters earlier than this, in James 1, it said, do any of you lack wisdom? Ask God. He wants to give it to you. So, prayerfully consider your decision before God. You then, step 2, list the possible solutions to your situation or dilemma. The 3rd step. Then, in a spirit of humility, remember, humility and wisdom go together. In a spirit of humility, you go before God and you consider each of your potential solutions one by one. One at a time. 4th thing. As you do that, as you contemplate each potential solution, you check your heart. Does the first potential solution bring peace to your heart? Do you have peace? Is it considerate? Is it submissive? Or is it an action that that elevates you and in the process puts others down? Does it carry mercy with it? Do you foresee that it can yield good fruit? Is your solution impartial or does it show favoritism? And is your solution a sincere and honest answer to the dilemma? That's step 4, to check your heart against that list. Then you go through the same process with each of your potential solutions. And the one that ticks off all the checkpoints is very likely the action that carries with it the wisdom of God. And the 6th step is, if none of them match the checklist very well, then you probably still need to find more potential courses of action. Can you see how helpful this can be in the living of life? Put it into practice. Use it in your daily living. In fact, we've provided a checklist. I don't have one up here. It's on the 2 stools, one at either side of the technology booth. The same list I just went through. My friends, God wants. He wants to help you in life. He wants you to have wisdom. We need wisdom, don't we? We do. How magnificent of God to offer us this help. Pick up your Bible. Dive into it. The Spirit Himself will help you take that data and to form it into information, turning it into knowledge. And then when you start putting it into practice with humility, you will indeed wisen up. In fact, you will at times astound people with the wisdom with which you live your life. So that God wants for all of us. He offers it to all of us. And how gracious of Him. Amen.